welcome to The Logstat, the Army's premier podcast on all things sustainment, where we analyze new developments, discuss current trends, and forge the path ahead for the next generation of sustainment soldiers. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Logstat. I'm your host, Captain Garrett Pyle. Today, we're going to focus on the future of a specific branch that, while it was not officially founded until World War II, it can draw its roots to the foundation of this nation. It is the branch that ensures everything gets from home station to the forward line of troops by rail, air, sea, or land transportation. Yes, you guessed it. I'm talking about the Transportation Corps, the spearhead of logistics. I may be a little biased as this is my basic branch, but the facts don't lie. Nothing happens until something moves. And it is truly fitting that we are discussing the future of the Transportation Corps on its birthday. 83 years ago today, on July 31st, 1942, the Transportation Corps was officially founded. And there is no one better to walk us through where we have been and where we are going than the current Chief of Transportation, the COT, Colonel William Arnold. Colonel William Arnold serves as the 34th Chief for Transportation. He's a native of Wharton, Texas, and graduated from Texas A&M University in 1997 with a Bachelor of Science degree in Construction Science and was commissioned into the Transportation Corps. He holds a Master of Science in Transportation and Logistics Management from American Military University and a Master of Strategic Studies from the U.S. Army War College. Colonel Arnold's operational command assignments include the 251st Cargo Transfer Company of the 21st Theater Support Command, TSC, from 2004-2005, Commander of the 3rd Brigade Support Battalion, 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team, 3rd Infantry Division from 2015-2017, and the Commander of the 596th Transportation Brigade of the Surface Deployment and Distribution Command from 2020-2022. He has held a variety of other positions during his 28 years of experience that has all sharpened his logistical skills. And today, he's going to give us an insight into what the future of the Transportation Corps holds for 2040. So happy to have you on the show today, sir. Welcome.
Hey, Garrett. Thanks for having me. This is a tremendous opportunity, and I'd like to thank you. As I look for many ways to communicate to the Army where we're going in the Transportation Corps and how we're going to modernize, this is a tremendous opportunity. So thanks for having me.
Of course, sir. So happy to have you. It's going to be an awesome time just to be able to dive in for our listeners to see. One, it's just an awesome to see on being today, the birthday of the Transportation Corps. It's an awesome opportunity because we have come so far from our inception until today. But before we really get into the 2040, can you tell us more, especially our listeners, what your role is as a Chief of Transportation?
Yeah, so the Chief of Transportation, I really wear two hats. So the first and foremost, the first hat I wear is as the Commandant of the school. And so within the school, that's where we train our transportation professionals and some of our functional courses. The school is divided between three locations, Fort Lee, Virginia, where we train our mobility and our 88 Novembers. We train our Mike 9 master drivers. We train the UMO course and the TC Ames course, and really all the courses that help the Army deploy and be ready to deploy. And then down at Fort Eustis, Virginia, where we have our maritime and intermodal training department there, that's where we train our Army mariners and our 88 hotels, our cargo handle specialists. And then out at Fort Leonard, Missouri, where we have our 88 Mike school, we train all our 88 Mikes. We also have just recently brought back into the schoolhouse all the NCO PME training underneath the transportation school from Army Sustainment University. And we also have back underneath our oversight, the warrant officer schools as well. So I'm very, very excited about that. The second hat I wear is as the modernization proponent for transportation. So as folks may know, General Donahue, the CASCOM commander, is the modernization proponent for all things sustainment. And then me being the COT for the Chief of Transportation, I'm on the modernization proponent for transportation. And so really I'm responsible for looking out and how do we modernize the force across all the .mil PFP functions, not only equipment, but looking at how we train differently, what does our doctrine need to be written differently, how do we train our leaders differently, and how do we integrate different policies and procedures and so forth. And so that's really the two main hats I have as the Chief of Trans.
That's awesome, sir. Especially seeing you kind of just touched on, so now the NCO, the school is now under the transportation school.
That is correct. Yep.
So no longer with the Army Sustainment University?
No longer with the Army Sustainment University as of 1 June.
Oh, wow. So that is a very recent change to the area of this podcast and as well. So, and you have three different locations that you're overseeing, a lot of different things, because I know with the Transportation Corps, we're very diverse in what we're able to do.
That's absolutely right. We may be one of the smallest corps in the Army, but we bring probably the biggest punch. And at those three locations, we train a lot of our Army soldiers, especially in 88 Mikes, Hotels, Novembers, and then our three warrant officer.
So just for those, especially those NCOs that are going to be going through the schooling, where is their schooling going to be located at if it's no longer with Army Sustainment University?
Yeah, so within our training management division here at Fort Lee, we've recreated the structure, and we brought that PME for ALC and SLC underneath our TMTD here at Fort Lee. And then for our Mariners, for ALC, it'll be underneath the MITD down there at Fort Eustis.
Okay. Awesome. So as we start to look ahead into what the future holds for the Transportation Corps, what do you see? Because I know beforehand it was always 2030, but I mean, it's about to be 2030. So now we're looking even further into the Army of 2040. So how do you see the transportation there?
Yeah. So as I look in, and how do I drive the Transportation Corps into the future? And it's really beyond 2030, like you said, it's into 2040, into 2040 and beyond. I mean, first and foremost, we got to be ready to fight tonight, right? Always, we got to be ready to fight tonight. And I put that on all the teammates here within the school, is making sure folks that come in, we got to continue to train to be ready to go fight tonight. But as we look to the future, we got to understand where the future is going. A lot of things like looking at the current and recent wars, Ukraine, the Gaza, what's happening over there in the Middle East, and understanding and trying to project what we think the new battlefield is going to look like. We're going to be experiencing new emerging threats, especially with the addition of drones and drone swarming and those additional threats that we haven't seen in the past. The pace is going to be much faster on this new battlefield. We're going to have a near peer threat that we're going to face that we haven't had to face in the past 20 plus years. So looking at all that, it's going to require from a transportation aspect, a distribution center, a distribution system that is continuously in motion. For example, we can no longer have large stocks of supplies on the ground anymore. We can no longer be nodal and stationary like we were in the past. So we got to have the ability to think differently going forward. Our functions are going to be a little bit different. We're not going to be able to conduct convoys like we've seen in the past because they're going to be lucrative targets for the future enemy. We probably won't be able to do things like trailer transfer points, right? Because that's nodal positions that we've had in the past. We definitely have to think differently there. And then really, if you think of, you know, how we did transition from the operational to the tactical, and within the tactical, we use logistics release points. Probably not going to be the way we've done business in the past. We're going to have to think differently how we do that in the future. I just rewrote 4-11, and that's the motor transport operations. And in there, I was really, really deliberate to make sure I highlighted our necessity to talk about deception operations within the Transportation Corps and how do we do that. And then the importance of us being able to coordinate and be able to provide layer protection into the future. So, you know, just for example, functions such as movement control. Movement control in the past is not going to be what movement control is into the future. We're going to be organized differently. We're going to have to think differently. We're not going to be able to have those nodes that we once had in the past because they may not be able to survive on the future battlefield. So we've got to think differently on that. We're going to have to adjust our doctrine differently, and we're going to have to take advantage of technology going forward in the future.
And you just hit on so many unique things that's coming to what the Transportation Corps is working on right now. You mentioned 4-11. When is that coming out?
So I just finished the final edits on 4-11. It should be within the next 30 to 45 days. The CG's blessed off on it. We got a much better product for the team to use out in the field. We're changing some of the, we just got to go back and change some of the formations because we made some decisions here recently with the Chief of Staff of the Army on, you know, going away from light divisions to mobile divisions. So we got to go change that. What do those truck companies look like, for example, inside the doctrine? And I'm also excited, and I'll talk a little bit more about that, as I've also started to really highlight what we're going to do with autonomy inside of our transportation units.
Awesome. So definitely for all our listeners out there, be on the lookout when 4-11 drops. So be able to see everything that the team here has been working on and really get to see what the next steps are in the transportation core. So I know you hit it on a little bit, but what are some of the new initiatives that the transportation core is working on? I know your team has really taken these new technology that is available to the force and ran with it. So what are some insights you can give the listeners?
Yeah, I could probably talk for about 10 hours on this, right? But I'm not going to do that. And I'll leave a little bit for the next podcast that we're going to have in the future. Here's what I would tell the team, and here's what I would tell the Army is from a transportation course perspective, we have a lot of initiatives going on for the betterment of the future of our Army and of our Corps itself. The first thing I'll start off with is, you know, it's really not just me in the schoolhouse here. It's a complete collective enterprise and community of interest that's helping me bring this to fruition. I have teammates across the Army, across the sustainment enterprise. I have teammates across CASCOM that I bring all together to bring these initiatives to fruition. So I'm going to bucket them in a couple different ways. So first, I'll just talk about tactical wheeled vehicles. So a couple things that I'm working on with the collective team on the tactical wheeled vehicles is, number one, the autonomous transport vehicle sustainment, the ATVS. That's our autonomous platform. We're going to start fielding that into formations probably within the next 18 to 24 months or less. We're moving really, really fast with this technology. And essentially what it is we're taking the old PLS systems, we're going to upgrade it, we're going to put by-wire active safety on it, and we're going to integrate an autonomous stack on top of it to allow it to operate autonomously. And then soldiers and NCOs and leaders in the field will be able to make a decision inside their formations as we give them these autonomous vehicles. They can run a single vehicle autonomously, they can run a convoy autonomously, they can do human-machine integration, or they can just run it all fully manned because you can turn it on and off. So great capabilities we're bringing to the Army, and I think it's going to be very, very significant. So much so that I believe that this autonomous vehicle is going to be the game changer that we once saw in 1915 when we introduced the truck into the Army. And so it's going to allow us to get operational reach. We're going to be able to go much longer, much faster, and not have to worry about things like crew rest like we have in the past. The other initiative is the common tactical truck. Our vehicles are starting to age out. So we got to start modernizing them. So the common tactical truck is going to be a common chassis across the 915, the LHS, the Hemet Cargo, and the PLS. And I'm going to use, we're going to use industry and look at COTS technology and how can we leverage COTS technology out in industry to bring these chassis to a commonality. And not only will it be common across those chassis and those variants, we'll have some commonality back to industry where we'll have parts availability much better. So that we're working really, really hard on the common tactical truck. The other thing is the MMET, which is the autonomous trailer, about the size of a PLS trailer, that we think we could do between 5,000 to 7,500 pounds. So that's a new technology that we're looking to bring into the mix as well. I think what's important across tactical wheeled vehicle that I'm going to have the team help me work on is as the Army continues to reform its formations, we got to understand what's happening with our wheeled vehicle fleet. So we got to probably open up the tactical wheeled vehicle strategy. I mean, collectively, we got to kind of work on that and figure out collectively across all warfighting functions where we're going with tactical wheeled vehicles. Let me shift to the maritime domain. A lot of happening in the maritime domain, really focusing on Indo-PACOM specific. And so we're on the cusp of having the Army Watercraft Modernization Strategy be signed and come to fruition. And really the nexus of that strategy is a mixed fleet of watercraft capabilities hinged around what we currently own in our inventory and ensuring that the readiness of that inventory is ready to go. Capitalizing on commercial technology, where can we potentially contract and or buy commercial technology off the shelf, and then really bring into fruition autonomous vessels as well. And then in conjunction with that is being partnered with our joint community, with the Navy and Marines, and also with our partners out there across the globe and what they capabilities they have. And so that strategy is coming to fruition. We're working really, really hard on that. And we'll probably be able to talk about that a little bit in a later date. We do have the maneuver support vessel light that's in production now. We're gonna achieve 5 coming out of production here between now and 2028. So that'll be a new technology that'll enable maneuver of our forces. And all of our maritime capabilities is hinging on our 4 core functions that we have within the Army. Like I said, we're working on the autonomous resupply vessel, another initiative we're trying to bring across and into the finish line, and then other capabilities across the maritime domain that we're really, really focused on. And then addition to wheeled vehicles and maritime, a couple other things that collectively across the enterprise we're working on is not only are we working on wheeled vehicles or maritime, we're actually focusing on the air domain as well. And so one of those is JTARS, which is the Joint Tactical Autonomous Aerial Resupply System. Underneath the transportation corps portfolio, going to be in the distribution companies forward, the force support companies forward, the ability to do squad size resupply at a rapid pace at about 200 pounds at a pop. So this is a great capabilities with the aerial drone that we have coming forward. And then even bigger than that, that's going to be connected to the maritime domain and other domains is the heavy cargo UAS capabilities, where we think are already seeing capabilities in industry where we can pick up maybe 3,000 or even a container and move it around using a heavy cargo UAS drone. So some unique capabilities there within the core. And then I just also, not only did I pick up the NCO Academy and the Warrant Officer back underneath the school, but the Deployment Modernization Office, so the DPMO, is now back underneath the school as a reporting entity. And so we're working really hard on modernization, our deployment process, modernizing our TCAIM system and moving to a different system that's better suited for the future fight, and really revamping how we do in-transit visibility. So a lot of efforts there across those domains as well. And then the last thing I'll leave the team with is, you know, not only am I doing all those material solutions, doctrinal solution is inside the schoolhouse, as you can imagine, with all these new technologies and all this new doctrine is our transporters are going to be ever more busy. They're going to have new skills that I got to train them on. How do they employ autonomous, for example? So we're already attacking that, and we're starting to pilot some of that stuff inside the schoolhouse. So I'll leave it there if there's any questions or for future conversation. But that's really where we're going right now into the future of Transportation Corps.
Well, we'd like to say, wow, there is a lot that the Transportation Corps is working on. And it's amazing how they're integrating the new technologies and new innovations that's happening on the civilian side into the warfighter. And don't worry to everyone out there, there's a lot of what he just went over. We are going to be deep diving in to a lot of those specific things to just give you a better insight and how the Transportation Corps is integrating with things and how you're about to see these things come to fruition at a formation near you. I mean, specifically, just think about the Common Tactical Truck. We're taking all these different platforms, getting them all under one. I mean, first of all, it's going to save us a ton of money just having, especially comes to parts. Because right now, because we have so many different platforms that need all these unique different parts, just to think how, not just the money, but the be able to repair much quicker on the battlefield, where a maintainer only has to bring this set of parts out there. They don't have to bring all these different containers, all these different parts for all these different platforms. It can simplify our movements now. Gets after the concept of a smaller, lighter footprint as well.
Yeah, and I would tell you, even on the Common Tactical Truck, and we'll definitely talk more about this in the future. The idea behind that is, you know, if you look at industry now, right, all those vehicles are autonomous ready. And so that Common Tactical Truck will come autonomous ready. And then we can take our autonomous stack and we can apply it to that. And then we can then have instant capabilities of autonomous in any of those platforms, however we see it to be needed on the battlefield. And the other thing that's unique that we're going after inside this truck is, you know, the notion of hybridization, because that's in the commercial vehicles now. And so what that hybridization technology will allow us to do is it will allow us to kind of generate, store, and offboard power off of the truck. So if you can imagine, if I'm out there setting up a company talk or a battalion talk, I no longer have to drag around generators on the battlefield. I just use the truck and I power my talk. So that's critical going forward into the future.
Yeah, so definitely. Check out, I believe, in the fall edition, Army Sustainment Professional Bulletin. Some great articles actually discuss that power generation in the Did You Know section. So I highly suggest the listeners out there go check it out, get a better understanding of what that platform offers and how it's really going to transform our capabilities out in the battlefield. So we don't have to set up these all these different generators everywhere. Enables us to become more mobile and be able to have a smaller footprint. So I like to kind of look at it as, so what is driving, we just went over all these new initiatives. So what is driving all this change for 2040?
So here's what I would tell you. I kind of started it off a little bit up front, you know, understanding what the future battlefield is going to look like, working with our teammates and kind of understanding, you know, what those future concepts are going to be as we look to bring those forward into the future. Obviously, the emerging threats for sure are changing the way we think, and we got to think differently. And so we're going to have to drive to that. For sure, you know, our Army senior leaders are making great decisions. And so we got to be able to be dynamic and flexible to adjust to that new decision and the guidance on how we're taking the entire Army. And the Transportation Corps has got to be flexible to do that, because really, you know, we deliver the Army anywhere in the world. So we got to be really, really cognizant of what's going on with that. And then I would say just the pace. If you start to study the current wars, let's take Ukraine or even anything happening in the Middle East, just the pace at with which things are happening, we have to be ready for that pace, and we got to be able to keep pace. No different than what they figured out in World War II with the Red Ball Express. They figured out that they had to figure out an operation to keep pace with the generals, because they were moving out. So we have to do that in the Transportation Corps and just keep pace with operations.
And that's perfectly said, sir. Like, we need to keep up, and we want to be proactive in everything we're doing and not reactive. We don't want to be in that situation where we are being out, like as World War II, everything is being outpaced. We want to continue to lean forward with these initiatives that we were just discussing, so that when the next fight does come, that we've already leaned forward. We have these new innovations that can support this new fight, though, that's going to be coming. Meaning that the higher, more technology-driven, more autonomous-driven, more drone-driven compared to previous fights, especially against a near-peer adversary, which we didn't have in the last 20-plus years, when everything we were able to have giant FOB set up. We were able to have these giant depots set up. Like, we were more static like that. That's not going to be the future fight. So it's great to see the Transportation Corps leading forward and getting new initiatives so that we can be lighter and more mobile, have a less footprint, so we can keep pace with the future fight, especially with all these new initiatives that's coming with transformation and contact and the way the formations are changing and adapting now.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, kind of what I described early on is, you know, that distribution network is going to kind of be in somewhat perpetual motion, right? It's going to be in a constant motion. The other thing I think that's a big dynamic, while we had Indo-PACOM theater, you know, over the last, you know, 20 plus years, as we start to move into that theater, prioritize that theater, our operations that we were accustomed to in the past happened in hours. And if you think about that vast theater over what the water domain, distribution doesn't happen over hours unless you're flying it in. It's over days because you're moving it over the ocean.
And that's going to be, I know, just almost like a little teaser into our episode. We talk about the Army Watercraft Modernization Strategy, because that is going to have a huge impact on the Indo-PACOM theater. And then, so listeners, if you be on a lookout for a future episode on that, how we explain and talk about what that looks like. Because go back to World War II and the Pacific Theater. Everything between the island hoppings and how we had to move everything across water, it's no different today. The Allies didn't get closer. You know, we still have that great distance that we have to travel. So be on the lookout for when we get into that conversation. So one thing that, sir, what can, you know, sustainers, what can we learn from our civilian counterparts in this 21st century of transportation distribution operations?
Yeah, so I think, you know, first thing I'll lead off with is I engage industry often. And I've, you know, underneath General Donahue, we started to engage him a little bit differently, because we've started to define problems where we need industry's help to have a solve. Autonomy is a perfect example of that. That's not an expertise we have. That's something that the civilian industry is really bringing to the forefront. And it's all about, you know, partnering with industry to figure out how do we bring that to bear and capitalize on that for our operations within the Army and within the Transportation Corps. You know, I often look at them and ask them for, you know, how can we streamline our processes? How can we utilize the technologies out there better to provide communication, command and control, common operating picture? So we're kind of in a partnership with industry to help us in that and help us really get after what the problem is. And then I think as we look at industry and how they develop and they partner with this, it'll allow us to be more flexible and adaptable going forward in the future as we continue to modernize and grow.
Awesome. Yeah, I think this, we just look at the way different civil entities organize their distribution operations, their warehousing operations, and it's something we need to take into account so that we are pushing supplies forward faster on the battlefield. And there's just so many advancements, because if you look at the civilian counterparts, like they're looking for the best way through competition to have the best profit, the best way to get a item from point of manufacturing all the way to the consumer. Same thing we're doing from over here in the organic industrial base here all the way to the four line of troops to that individual soldier. So there's a lot to learn. And I know there's some different programs. We got the training with industry. Is there anything you can touch on from the transportation side on that?
Yeah, so we do capitalize on training with industry. I think, what you know, from the maritime domain, we partner with Caterpillar because honestly they have the engines that go into our watercraft. So we send some of our mariner warrant officers into there. We're looking to put our mobility warrant officers into Caterpillar as well, because they have a global footprint, right? And so our mobility officers got to understand global distribution, for example. Same thing for our NCOs. On top of TWI, we also look to put our leadership in other agencies as well. TACOM is a good, we put them in ASOT with our PEOs and our PMs so that we have that expertise there. And then they're also learning and growing with inside those domains as well. So a lot of availability and all that. And the other thing I'd highlight real quick is, you know, not only are we learning from our partners in civilian industry, they're learning from us as well. And that's why it's really a close partnership.
Awesome. Now, is there anything that we missed on the Army of 2040 in regards to transportation that you would want to highlight to the audience?
The only thing I would say is, you know, we're being flexible and adaptable. And, you know, when the chief comes down and talks to us, he's like, our doctrine's got to change, you know, very rapidly. Our school instruction's got to change very rapidly, because that's the pace with which the environment is changing. So, you know, just to the listeners out there, have that mindset every day. You know, understand what's happening around and be adaptable, be flexible.
Awesome. So one thing I have to always do and close out these episodes is an opportunity so you can provide some wisdom and some advice to the systemic community. So what do you have for us, sir?
Yeah, sure. Another topic I can talk for hours and hours on, but I'll pull out a couple of things that I think are relevant based off of today's discussion and really discussions across this podcast for sure. Number one, for our sustainers, be masters of our craft. Be masters of our craft. And then be ready and know how to survive on the battlefield tonight and the future battlefield. So that, I think that's going to be job one. You're going to have to be grounded in doctrine and use it as a guide. Not the absolute answer, but use it as a guide so that you can adapt, think, and take initiative on the battlefield. And so you have to study doctrine. You have to personally prepare yourself, no matter if you're a soldier, an NCO officer, or warrant officer, vitally important. And then inside that, we got to make sure we start to really, really understand joint doctrine and our partner doctrine, such as NATO and the other partnerships we have out there in Indo-PACOM. Because our allies and our joint, we're going to fight together. We're not going to go at this alone. And we're going to have to understand, how do we integrate all that? How do we synchronize it and bring it to bear, especially with regards to sustaining the force? The other thing, I think, you know, it'd be remiss if I didn't say, understand where your resources are. CASCOM exists for just that. We are your reach back and your resource. nowhere to go find the resource page here at CASCOM and all the resource links that you have at your fingertip. And then give us feedback so that we can better train our soldiers, NCOs, warrant officers, and officers. Don't just you know, let something go by without giving us feedback. If we're not getting after the right task or the right skills, we need to know that. And then understand how to connect across the entire enterprise, because it's a connected enterprise that really gets this done. And then really, honestly, be proud of being a sustainer. Be proud of being a transportation corps, NCO, soldier, warrant officer, and officer. Have fun. I firmly believe that next to our people, right, I see the projection of sustainment around the world as our strategic advantage next to our people. And so, you know, that's probably the biggest nuggets I'll leave you with today.
Wow. Thank you, sir. That is some very well-spoken wisdom across the force. And to our listeners out there, I really want you all to take that to heart, especially with being able to, you know, you got to be able to fight tonight, especially with the equipment that you have, the people that you have, the training that you've done. So thank you, sir, for those words of wisdom. And we're excited to especially have you back on this show. We've highlighted and touched on a few different aspects that we are going to be talking about. But before we officially close out, if people want to be able to have some follow-up questions or they want to be able to reach out to you or your office, where can people find you at, sir?
Yeah, so I think that the best place is if you go onto the transportation, if you go to the CASCOM page and you go onto the transportation core page and you find the Office of the Chief of Transportation, we got multiple links out there. We do have our One Transportation Facebook page that we're getting back up and running as we kind of consolidated things across the schoolhouse there. So we'll have that opportunity to communicate. And then really reaching out to myself, Command Sergeant Major Hood, CW5 Throm on the global, right? Just find us, get us some information, and we'll get people linked into the right avenue.
Awesome. Well, thank you, sir. Definitely want to thank you, you know, for coming in here today, taking time out of your day and providing our listeners with these insights to the future of the Transportation Corps. I know there is so much more to discuss, and we just barely kind of scratched the surface. That's why we'll have you back on the show to discuss some advancements and impacts and autonomous capabilities, get opportunity to dispel some of the rumors floating around out there, the new watercraft modernization strategy, and also, which we touched on a little bit, the new common tactical truck. And these are just some of the episodes that we have planned so far.
Hey, I appreciate it, Garrett. Thanks for the opportunity. You know, to the listeners out there, number one, thanks for your service to the nation. Thanks for what you do every day. Take care of our people and be ready to go fight. Spearhead.
Thank you, sir. That is all we have today, folks. Be on the lookout for the episodes I mentioned coming out throughout the fall season. As always, Sustainment Leaders start here. See you next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Logstat. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Please share this episode across your formation and leave us a review. If you have a topic you like here discussed, then please reach out to us at armysustainment@army.mil or directly to me on Global at garrett.h.pyle. Follow us on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn at Army Sustainment. We'll see you next time. Sustainment Leaders start here.